Is it recording? Yes, it is. Okay. Aloha nui kako. We have some really amazing special guests for today's talk story, Vehe Vehena Kama'ilio session. Hailing from Oahu, actually, both of them from the beautiful rains of Apuakea as well as Palolo Valley. We have Kekai and Sheena. I'll let them go ahead and introduce themselves, but we're super excited to have Kekai, who is the creator behind Piko Hinano, and Sheena, who is the creative mind behind Mo'ohele. Go ahead and check both of them out. I'll link their Instagrams below this, whatever, wherever we end up putting this. So this one is just going to be a quick talk story, but I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to them so they can introduce themselves. They also are coming all the way to us from the land of the Uakani Lehua, Hilo, not Hanakahi. Which part of Hilo are you in? Hilo,
Hana
Hanaeva, Mahalo. Go ahead. Ovaila'oe. Ovaila'olua.
Aloha mai kako. I'm Sheena, but yeah, we'll just go with Sheena. what do I do? I have a degree in Hawaiian studies and communication. So the study of how we communicate to each other. And I currently work in like conservation work. So it's super fun to intermingle my conservation work with also my background in hula. So yeah. It's your turn.
Aloha kākou. My name is Kekai Naone. I am from He'iauli, Oahu. I graduated from Kahakaula with a bachelor's degree in Hawaiian studies, emphasizing in language and literature. And what do I do now? I work in an office putting on programs that support Hawaiian language and culture.
I work in the office too.
I am also the creative mind of Piko Hinano, which is my weaving persona. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh,
okay.
okay, me too. Hi, I am Keala, and my voice sounds a little different today
She
because
doesn't have
I lost
COVID.
it. Yeah, no, I lost it. Last week, so I'm still searching for it. And
My pai kaleo.
So funny because when we went, I don't know if you did see that story that I posted this morning with I had a Mai Pa'i Kaleo sticker on that sign. It
I
was
love that.
in camera. That's funny that you'd say that. So thank you everybody for making time to be here. I know it's like we literally never have time that we're all free. So mahalo for making the time and investing your energy and creating space and holding space to be here with us today. And like I mentioned to Kekai earlier, some of the things that I kind of have on our papahana for us today to talk about, like we had discussed before, number one, cultural appropriation. That's a huge one for all of us, actually, that has really brought us to this point in time. And number two, dreams and dreaming, and as a part of that, lucid dreaming. Yeah, that was right. That was our
I have
topic.
some trippy dreams lately.
Talking about lucid dreaming and dreaming a lot lately, and like your psyche and stuff like that. So let's dive into all of that. But first, I want to start off with cultural appropriation. So
Obsessed.
literally, that's where Moonkind Things came from, is born was. Okay, so for everybody that doesn't know, Kekai, Sheena, and I went to college together at UH Hilo, Kahakaula, O'Ke'eli Kolani. And we, had many different papa together. We had many of the same friends, many of the same circles. And it started to kind of come up to us that there was a certain brand that, well, not started to come up to us. It was like this brand had been, kind of making a of Hawaii for kind of quite a while. And as we had all come together in college, we were all kind of like, this is like a frequent topic of conversation, okay, was how this certain brand was really making Hawaii, like portraying Hawaii in a certain image that was like all about sexualization of women and drugs and like glorification of like drug dealing and stuff like that. And all of the bad stereotypes that Hawaii is really kind of known for, right? Is like that underground dirty life and like, you know, fast money and all that kind of stuff and like bitches and hoes and stuff like that. But it had come up to us that this company has millions of people literally looking at them and saying, oh yeah, that's what Hawaii is all about. Look at that. Like, that looks so awesome. I can't wait to go there and like live that thug life. And like, you know what I mean? Like, it started to become like an issue. And that's not Hawaii. And living on, and like, it was further than that. It was like, they were taking direct images, motifs, concepts, mana'o, words from Hawaiian language and Hawaiian culture and using it in a way that it was not originally intended to, which is literally the definition of cultural appropriation, right? So then plenty of people started to be like, well, can a Hawaiian even appropriate Hawaiian culture? And I want to open that question up to everybody. So what do you guys, I want to hear from you. What do you think? Can a Hawaiian appropriate Hawaiian culture?
Yes. I think so, only because this is based on my own experience, okay? Like, I grew up in Oahu. I grew up in, like, the housing. So I can definitely relate to that, like, lifestyle of fast, you know, like, oh, gang banging and stuff like that. You know, I grew up around that kind of stuff. And at that same time, I was in hula, but I wasn't really rooted in Hawaiian culture things. So I didn't learn much history behind our stuff and even just what olelo no eau is, how to even speak. I mean, I learned basic sentences from hula, but it wasn't anything deeper.
That brings up the difference between being a hula dancer and a hula practitioner, right?
Yes, because I was a haumana.
Yeah.
I was a haumana, yeah. And so like, that even changed my, like, that even was different in how I grew up in that world, kind of influenced my life because that's what I was super peely with. Like, I grew up in playing sports, but it wasn't really my thing, and hula was what I went to. But it really wasn't until I came here and learned what culture is. And like, even going to Kamehameha, so I was in public school system until I went to high school. And that's when I actually started learning about culture and like literature, and that's what I was into. And so that drived me to come to here. And then when I was placed into the culture at Kahakaula, I'm not gonna lie, is what really, not even just Kahakaula, because honestly, Kahakaula and the UH system here kind of expands on both campuses and through all different departments. And I don't know if that works on other campuses, but like they've had some really cool people that have like this certain mindset in all these different departments around school. So when I had to take all of those like, gen ed classes, I still was connected to my culture because they were grounded in culture. And I think it's super different for me and how I view things now. And a lot of the things that I did back in Oahu, I would view what I did was a cultural appropriation because I didn't understand.
And okay, now so I did. Let's look at what is cultural appropriation first of all.
I don't want to give like a specific example.
But well, you don't have to give an example, but you can just like, just tell me like, in your opinion, like, what does it mean when we're even talking about cultural appropriation or kikai?
At its most basic form, I would define it as using something of any culture, even your own maybe, for the sole purpose of profiting and like that. Yeah, I think just for you know, using something to blatantly make money off of it with no other reason attached than it's a cool word and I'm gonna make it my brand name and I'm gonna make lots of money off of it now. I don't even know what it means or have any relationship to that culture or whatever.
Yeah.
Totally. Okay. Or even like I mentioned earlier, even just taking these concepts and using them in a way other than they were originally intended. So for example, just something that came to mind, because I always talk about how Christianity and like the Hawaiian identity, Christianity really has this, or had in the time of our kupuna as well as now, has this kind, I have a hard time saying these kinds of things publicly because I feel like there's going to be a lot of judgment.
You're going to get heated for it.
Like, yeah, no, exactly. So I'm trying to just like speak my truth and be right about things, but thank you guys for supporting me and being here because I'm having a hard time with it. But anyway, so what was I even talking about? Christianity. The use of the word pono. We talk about this all the time, but also like even the use of like different kinds of Hawaiian words and stuff like that for any kind of Christian purposes to me is like almost hurtful to me as a Hawaiian. And it is cultural appropriation, because if you think about it, the traditional Hawaiian culture of our kupuna, it's so messy because like, yeah, there were kupuna that were Christian and they are kupuna and they count and their culture and their beliefs count and matter. But it's like where it comes from was just rooted in kind of a lot of like not good intentions, you know what I mean? And so when they use like Hawaiian words or Hawaiian motifs or Hawaiian concepts like that, I get like a hooky about it, and it makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable as a Kanaka that knows our history. Yeah.
And yeah, we have to remember like a lot of these words that are recorded nowadays were because when they came, they taught us a written language and they made the books, they made the education books, they made all these things. So their perspective and their mana'o and how they perceive it, how the word is what they're gonna teach us. And exactly. So yeah, it gets taught until like Mary Kavena Puku'i comes in and she does this amazing work for us. And so that's why we have to keep looking at Mary Kavena Puku'i's work and just like, not just taking face value of the word, going down and actually makavaluing and looking at the word and seeing how that relates to the culture in general.
Or even just like looking at the contexts it's used in mm-hmm. different mo'olalo. Like you can even see mm-hmm. the word aloha can be to pity someone.
Mm-hmm. Aloha no.
You know, but you wouldn't think that.
Aloha ino.
Like, that's not one of the first definitions that pops up on wehewehe. So, you know, being able to remember these words aren't like black and white standardized that has one meaning. A lot of Hawaiian words encompass full concepts that encompass 10, 20 English words.
Mina, mina. If you use it in the same context, you can use it in the like.
But what I actually wanted to say was that I think it was really good that you used the word intention, because after I was thinking that that's actually, you know, for Hawaiians, that's like a really big thing is like, what is your intention for doing something? Mm-hmm. And so then I think too that when you don't, cultural appropriation is like, what is your intention for using this thing?
Right.
It's not a just intention or you'd have no intentions. It's just because then that also leads to that area.
Mm-hmm.
If you're using something for a specific reason and you have that justification for it, then it's better, you know, because there's an intention as to why you're doing something. But if you're just doing it just because, then you might as well not do it.
And if you want to normalize something, then why should we normalize that? Or like, what is
normalized?
Because you're saying that sometimes people take things that are meant for a specific thing and then they incorporate into modern day stuff. Mm-hmm. Is that
I'm not saying like, don't incorporate into modern day stuff, but it's like you have to it's like, what's the intention of your incorporation? Are you doing it to create a cool design that's going to make a lot of money, or are you doing it to educate our people that don't really know about a certain thing because it's a traditional practice maybe and you want to like raise awareness around that, or are you doing it because you know, that's something that your ohana practice that you want to bring back and share with the lehu lehu. Like, again, it's like all about intention, just like you said. I totally agree with that. Mahalo for bringing
and
that
then,
up.
Yeah, and I think too that culture obviously should evolve or else mm-hmm. it's stagnant, but mm-hmm. they have to, like Arkumu says, it has to evolve within parameters. So incorporating mm-hmm. is good. That's what our ancestors did. They got new things, they incorporated it. They're like, kapa's too much energy to make, just buy cotton.
Yeah.
It's easy. We incorporated it,
yeah.
You know what I mean? We Muslim. Didn't always Kapala. Shun everything, yeah. But like we incorporated it within certain parameters to make it our own,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's not just like, oh, we stole that. Like, mm-hmm. we're like, okay, you guys have cool hats. How can we make our own with our own things and within our parameters?
Another way that I really like to always talk about how like modern day la'au lapa'au is using essential oils, like good, well, sustainably sourced, ethically sourced essential oils like doTERRA. I use their turmeric oil for as a substitute in a lot of my different lao that I use would normally use olana for, because it's so highly concentrated and it's easy. It's right there. It's in a bottle instead of going to go juice the olana, which I, you know what, I would love to do if I totally had time between all of the many different hats. So it's stuff like that, that is, there's great ways that we can modernize our culture and use, it's not like I'm saying, let's all live in freaking grass huts. Obviously, I mean, the forest, no, I'm paying for it.
Let's do it.
But yeah, I just, what, cultural appropriation?
Okay, so I have a question. Yeah. So is it enough to do your own work with good intentions, or should you be doing your work that furthers the intentions of the original author? Like, what with your twist on it?
I'm like, that's a cool Anna.
That's so that's hard.
You know, what was the first part again? Sorry.
Like, is it enough to do your own work with your own intentions? Like, is that like okay? Like, because we're talking about cultural appropriation and everything. So when we're taking the work of, or not the work, but you know, like the whatever of the culture and then putting our own spin to it, is it still cultural appropriation if we're only just thinking within our own intentions?
Yes, I think so. Because you have to think of, you come and people behind you, like it's in your DNA. You come from a line of these kupuna. Some of these kupuna may have totally annexed, been against the annexation, and some may have converted to Christianity because that was what they had to do in that time. So I feel like I feel like you have to keep those people in mind too and what their intentions were. And so you have to kind of find that kupuna that connects you back to whatever pilina that you have. And that's how you're able to get your intentions. Also, I read in this really cool book that like, there's like some kind of succession. It's called mo'o, obviously. But like when you're the right person at the right time for when ike kupuna can flow through you, if your intentions is to bring good to like the lahui, you would want to connect to that kupuna from your Hawaiian lahui. And so you would want to make sure that everything you do leading up to whatever big project that you're going to create is with the intentions of that kupuna and as well as you, and the intentions of your mo'o that's going to take it, and the other mo'o that's going to take it in and see how that is. And so
you got me fucked up.
I don't know if that makes sense.
No, but that literally makes so much sense. And I feel like that's, I honestly was just telling my mom the other day, like, I feel like that's what I'm made to do, is literally just be a sponge and a downloader and then be an uploader. That's it. That's what my life purpose is. So hi, thanks for being here. Thanks for contributing.
Okay, SpongeBob.
No, for real. I literally, you just get me. All right, any more things on culture?
That's a really good and hard question, because it's very gray, right? Like someone could even possibly say like maybe like, you know, from a different perspective, I don't think this, I just made it up, okay, I don't believe this, but someone could say like Moonkind Things is cultural appropriation.
Oh, that's exactly
anyone can say that, and then so like.
So then it's like me knowing as a creator,
yeah,
what my roots are and what I'm freaking, what my is, you know, I'm like, that's cool. You go ahead, go off with your little theory because I know where my intentions are. Yeah, exactly. I get that. That's what I was just thinking too.
So then, I think definitely just having that kahua of like a solid foundation of like coming from knowledge and transparency and like being, you know, explicitly
you make it known,
saying, you know, this is what it is, whatever.
No, but I constantly have been running into like self-doubts, the thought that I've been thinking a lot lately is like, what if people are like, oh, who does she think she is? You know what I mean? Like, who are you to
write in the newspaper about you and call you out? That's what it's gonna be. That's what it's gonna be about.
Oh my god, no, for real.
It's always gonna be like that, right? Because everyone's gonna have different opinions of like, oh, you shouldn't share that much information, or that's not right according to what I know, because I'm probably from a different island and have different traditions, so I'm gonna say you're wrong.
No, exactly. Okay, so, yeah, and like, everyone, so, you know, I'm just like, if you don't align, that's cool. again, because I have that strong kahua of knowing where my ike comes from, knowing the ka'ina of that mo'okua'u hau of my ike, as well as knowing what parts I am allowed to share and what parts I'm not allowed to share, you know what I mean? And because of that, I feel okay to go forward without any, like, huki huki in my na'au. And I definitely, like, I mean, who the fuck, you know?
Who are you?
Who the fuck? No, I mean, like, who's gonna, like, stay in your own lane. But anyway, anything else on cultural appropriation before we move on?
I just wanted to circle back to Pono. I feel like we brought it up, but we didn't really talk about that.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that. So righteousness.
Like, I talk about it so often and I feel like people are sick of it. So I will shut up.
I am sick of it. Because what is righteousness? Some like glorified thing. But what is what are you glorifying?
Any other word. Just pick any other English word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was taught that Pono is like you need both. You need duality. You cannot have too much good. You cannot have too much bad. Mm-hmm. If you have too much good, then it's not good. And I learned that because I took a Ibi Kupuna workshop. And so that's heavy for me. If like there's too much good and like you want, I thought I'm like over here, okay, everything gotta be perfect. You want like all the light in the world for dealing with that kind of stuff. But no, their Kumu, which I think was Antipua guys, said, mm-hmm. You always need to have somebody that kind of tips the cup a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that's what Pono is, mm-hmm. because it brings that balance. Hello, yin and yang, you know, Avatar, come on, guys.
Well, duality is very strong, a very strong concept in Hawaiian culture, unlike Kuhina. You know, like there's just so many, kane kanaloa, so many different examples of duality in our culture and how important it was to keep those things in balance and together.
Okay, wait, guys, I had a thought. So Pono and being balanced and everything, right? So the good and bad, evil, whatever you want to call that. So mm-hmm. then I always think about that bad and like, why do we call it bad? Why do we call it negative? What is that negative? And then, you know, the more that I do research about it and read things and stuff, I find that it's that area is the absence of love. So then if that negative part is the absence of love, and then like that good part is probably like all the love. And then not too sure where I'm going with this, but pretty much like Pono, like just love, right? And then just like kind of just making sure that we look and recognize where our love is in order to see the gaps, in order to fill the gaps and to bring that balance back. And then when I look at the word Pono, and since we're going into our dream talk next, Po. No, like, so, I don't know. Let's just dive into
I'm
that.
Like, we gotta dive. Okay, so dreams. Let me segue us into dreams. So first of all, Kiala and I have been talking about lucid dreaming a lot lately because I actually had a meeting with my therapist the other day. So my therapist, I meet with him about the PTSD from the car accident. And like the nightmares and like stuff like that. So he was like the very first time we met, he was like, have you tried lucid? He's like, one of the techniques that I use is lucid dreaming. Like, have you ever tried that before? And I was like, actually, doctor, you know, I was like, yes, actually, I'm so happy you don't think I'm crazy. Nah. But I was like, you know, I told him like, yeah, I have. I've totally attempted to lucid dream. Like when I was in high school, in college, and out of the many times, I only succeeded like once. And it was like a minor, like, I think I was in the dream for about like a minute, but maybe it was a minute in dream world and it was like hour, I don't know. Anyway, so we were talking about lucid dreaming and he's like, lucid dreaming is a freaking great technique to like convince your brain to flip the script. So like, obviously if you're in a dream that you can control. So like when I have the nightmare about my truck and like the impact and everything, he's like, so just change the end to whatever you want. And so we like literally wrote a script together about, you know, this is what happens. Like I'm at the light and then I turn and as a car impacts, my truck turns into a bounce house and it just down the road all the way to my house. And I'm safe because even though we got in the accident, the ending has changed and I'm in a bounce house and everything's all good. So it just was so trippy to me to have that validated by, you know, Western medicine and like the psychologist perspective and like, lucid dreaming, holy crap, Would you talk about the TikTok?
Okay. So I saw this TikTok, and then she was like, this girl was like reading this like Tibetan. I should just find the TikTok. Should I just show the TikTok?
Yeah, show the TikTok. Okay, I'll plug it here. Oh, no, it doesn't work like that. What? I'm not going to edit this. I'm just going to close this whole thing.
Okay.
Sorry, guys. Go look it.
Yeah, just wait.
Okay, it's coming.
TikTok. Okay, get it. Before you go to sleep, let me tell you about this dope-ass theory about dreams. So I've been reading this book, The Tibetan Yogas of Dream and Sleep. There is some wild shit here. But you guys know how, like, our version of an awakening here in the Western world is like, oh, aligning my energy points and good vibes and incense and crystals, and there's nothing wrong with that. I love that. But according to this book, that is not what an awakening is. So this book stresses the importance of lucid dreams. Did you know that we spend 1/3 of our life dreaming? Yet we don't think anything of it. They're just dreams. But no, you spend 1/3 of your life in this dream world. Tibetan practices stresses the importance of lucid dreaming because listen to this. If you lose yourself every night, what chance do you have at being aware when death comes? They believe that the dream world and the physical world are actually a lot more closely connected than you think. But being able to be completely aware both when you're awake and when you're dreaming is their true version of an awakening. Because basically you never sleep. Through practices like lucid dreaming that increase your awareness, in return, you'll be able to be more aware or lucid whenever you die. That's interesting, right? I'm not the only one who thought, wait.
Oh no!
I just thought of like this really cool story I read about like the three realms in like the passing life. Totally forgot it, so I'm not gonna try to butcher it. But it's super cool. There's like ghosts, not ghosts, but like Uhane, like walking amongst, and then you die and you lucid or whatever.
Oh wait, are you talking about the movie?
What movie?
Never mind. Sorry, I'm replying to this. And I just like heard you out of the corner of my ear. But there was a movie that I remember that I watched in college where he's like lucid dreaming, or he dies and then Anyway, so lucid dreaming. Anybody have any mana'o or anything that they want to share or say about lucid dreaming before we start?
I've never done it. I've always been scared, to be honest. But I've always wanted to try it too, but I've always just been scared.
I feel like I get like awareness in my dreams, like I'm aware that I'm in my dreams, but then when I try to like change it and then I see that it's not happening, I'm like, I get frustrated and then I just wake up.
The one time I was aware was when I was actually camping in Waimanu and it was Pulkane.
Bye.
And I felt pressure and then I don't know if I was lucid dreaming or whatever, but I was like super aware because I still felt it. And in my dream, I was still kind of like dreaming. And oh my God, did I make up an ending? But yeah, I dreamt that my friend was like laying on top of me. And all I started to do, I remember like waking up and doing hey mu oi until that stuff like came off. Like I stopped feeling pressure and I went back to sleep and I was like, hey, thanks. Woo!
Have you guys ever astral projected? Anybody? Because like now that I'm thinking about it and I'm hearing your story, I'm like, I don't know if I lucid dreamed or if I astral projected, because I used to also, I was really ballsy when I was younger and no. I used to try and do shit. And I don't know now that I'm thinking back to it and now that I'm like, because in the dream, I astral projected. So was that me doing? We'll come back to that. Okay. But anyway, so lucid dreaming can be used as a great technique for PTSD. Is vetted by, you know, Western medicine. Some psychologists totally think that it's a valid technique that can be used to dive into, because again, dreams and nightmares especially are your brain's way of freaking processing things that your stubborn ass refuses to process during the day. So it's pull. And you're like literally your dark parts, your kanaloa, yeah, your deep dark kanaloa that you don't want to swim through during the day. Your brain is like, well, we have to fucking do something. So
I'm gonna hear, here's a little story.
While you're right? Here's what I think about while you're out gallivanting during the day.
If you're not thinking of anything.
Where's the name?
So I read this like article about sleep and it was talking about how like, just reframing like my ideas about sleep too, and like you know, like ever since the invention of technology and lights, you know, we've been off of our, you know, sun pattern and circadian rhythms have been off. And there's also saying that like at a cellular level that we, you know, like work on the, or even our cells work on that pattern, and we've just been messing it up. And just like how important sleep is, and that the more that you sleep and recall your dreams and like kind of reflect on them, like people are more creative when they do that, because you're like, you're expanding that cognitive thinking part, right? And then your awake life is like the recording part of your brain, and when you go to sleep, it's the editing. Your brain is telling you what to remember, what to get rid of, what's important, and like doing all that hard work. So like all that hard work that we don't want to do in the day, your brain is doing it physically and like mentally with us and our all of our whole, our darkness or whatever.
That's crazy.
What?
Literally. I'm gonna look up a Ola no Ea about dreams real quick. Anybody else wanna say anything about dreams or cultural?
Actually, I like that you said that dreaming helps with creativity, because a lot of creativity, and especially for practitioners in our realm and what we do and what we try to do, dreaming like choreography, dreaming melee, dreaming hula is like super amazing. And that's how you connect more with the kupuna from the pole. And so the idea of, oh yay, I didn't have any dreams.
Wait, now that you're saying that, the Ola no Ea that I just opened to, 558, he'elele kamoe na ke kanaka. A dream is a bearer of messages to man. Period. Exactly. Period.
Period. So we shouldn't like not wish to have no dreams or to have no nightmares. We have to just o kanaka and kind of like, okay, what is this telling me? Or what do I need to know? Mm-hmm. Or what is the lesson behind this story?
And sometimes you're not going to learn that lesson in one dream. Sometimes it takes multiple dreams, years even, to learn that. Like, I've always been scared of sharks in my dreams. And I've only recently had a dream where I, like, approached the shark and I wasn't scared. And, like, ever since that dream, I've been having, like, other, you know, that experience and that, like, awareness within my dream opened up other dream things for me, which is really weird. And also dreamscapes, like, know your dreamscapes. Where do you go in your dreams? Is it the same places? What's the significance of these places? Do you visit other people's dreamscapes?
You know, it's talking about sharks. Has anybody here ever read the book Ka'olili, The Shimmering? Okay, Kai, I feel like I've recommended that book to you. You need to fucking read it, okay? It was a book that I literally read as a part of summer reading in like ninth grade maybe, and it stuck with me all the way then till now, because it was a collection of different stories in English that were based around Hawaii. And one of the stories I know that you guys would love was about it was like this man that basically like turned into Kamapua'a, and Pele was and like lured him. Like, I need you guys to read that story, seriously.
I need it. That's in my life.
But the story that I'm thinking about when she says that is there's a story in there about this man who was visiting a psychologist because he was having these terrible, fearful nightmares about a shark. And it was like the same shark every night. And it was like lurking, like just watching him, like right just out of, like he could feel it and like he could see whips of the tail, but he would never see the actual shark. And he was saying he was like so scared that like something was coming, like he could feel like something was coming, the shark was going to come get him. And he was going to this therapist, and the therapist is like, you know, you're crazy, what are you talking about, it's a dream, like not you're crazy, but trying to talk you through it and just be like, it's just a dream, you know, you got to do these techniques and da 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 da. And then in the middle of the story, it's revealed through some like hypnotherapy that this guy had actually went diving with his friend, and he went to shoot the fish, and he accidentally shot his friend with the dive gun, and his friend died, and he just left his friend out there and came in and was like, oh, he's missing, blah 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 blah. And it turns out that guy's aumakua was a mano. Oh, and so the story ends with the shark coming and getting the guy in his dream, and he dies in real life.
That's a good one.
Oh, it was, I remember reading that at 14 years old, and I was, whoa. Oh my gosh,
because yeah, like in my experiences and what I know, right now at 9:50 a.m. might change in 5 minutes.
Current maturity
is that when we sleep, you know, like we go into pole, and like that's when we're in that realm and our spirit leaves our body. So like that's why we have words like Inoa pole. Like dreams aren't, I mean, yeah, they do that thing too, but then there also is that like spiritual aspect where it's like people can visit us in our dreams. And like I've had, I don't like to say I don't like to have dreams, but a lot of times when I have dreams, they're like,
same. That is such a Pisces vibe. I hate you.
They come real.
Yeah.
Like, I had a dream that
your
like,
dream realm. That's why I learned.
My grandma came and she hugged me and was like, "Bye, I love you." And then I woke up and my mom told me that she had passed.
Yeah. No.
You know, and I always have dreams like that, and it even happened another time, like with a pregnancy. And I had a dream, and then 6 months later, it you know, all happened. And I was like, I knew it.
I knew it.
Mine is I have dreams that I'm in a really specific situation, and they're always really random and weird. And I remember the dream because I know that that's going to be one of those situations, because it's like such a weird, like there's no purpose to the dream. Like, for instance, I had one where I was like literally sitting in a car in the Burger King drive-thru and like turned to the left and saw the lady. And like, I remembered the car that I was sitting in and like who was sitting in the car with me. And I was like, that was such a weird dream. And I woke up, and then like, I've had many instances where like and then it happens and I'm sitting in that car with that person. And I feel it like as I'm moving through the dream.
That's cool.
This is
familiar.
Yes.
But then also I remember reading something about like your past life and like, those connect, like those times are like connections or like, you know, fucking rips in the time fabric. And I don't know, like totally Pisces intuition, witch bitch shit, for real.
We're also talking about dreams. Have you guys ever heard of Hihio?
I was thinking about, do you guys remember that story about the lady who met the Mo'okane in her dream and then had the fucking baby?
Yes.
In Nanaike Kumu, I think. Yes, that's what I was, and she like woke up all the time scaly and fucking like slimy and like, yeah. Oh my god. Okay, but sorry, keep going. But that's the one with the it's a vision in a dream.
Yeah, so that's like when you're like, you know, like when you're falling asleep and you're like, you start dream, your mind's wandering, and then you start dreaming about something, but you're not like asleep yet. Like you could wake, you know, you could like sit up if you had to. Mm-hmm. So it's like that area of like just before you fall asleep when your brain is like jelly, and then right when you wake up but you're not still like fully awake yet, you know, and you're trying to like save that dream. And that's what MKP Marikavena Pupui writes, like that's when we're like most susceptible to like our visions and stuff like that. And that's like how I learn a lot of my weaving and Ulana Lauhala. Like when I try to figure out patterns and stuff, I literally will go take a nap. And like, as I'm falling asleep, like I let my mind wander and think about whatever. And then I start to like visualize the leaves moving in the certain order. How I like figure out, and not to be like, oh, I just dream about it, you know, but like, that's like honestly, like
something
I've been able to figure out. And even like, yeah, with other types of, you know, different things, like, I just lay down and like kind of like sleep on it. And like, I think when you let your brain relax and don't directly focus on it, then it brings up, you know, like you guys said, like the things you don't want to put the work into during the day, you're like putting too much work on it where you're just like giving yourself that block.
I'm laughing. And
if you stop thinking about it, then that's when you get it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm laughing because honestly, right before I go to sleep, I see all of the maps that I geo-reference at work. And just like, why?
I love it. That's so cool. Like, seriously, I love how all of our brains work. And like, you as a, you know, as like a, you're like our in the field person. And then Kikai is like our creative hula plant person. And then we have our other friend who's like our spiritual in touch outreach person.
Yes, HR. Honestly, she's HR.
Have all the different perspectives. It's just so valuable to have Kanaka in all these different spaces. So thank you all of you for everything that you guys do, seriously, for Alahui and for your own mo'o, that, you know, we'll be very thankful for all the things in the Ho'oilina that you have left. The Ho'oilinas.
Yeah.
But Yeah, thank you guys. This was great. This is an awesome session. Yes. I really hope that we can do more of these in the future. I just wanted to try and test this out. Let me stop recording real fast. So go ahead and say your goodbyes. Mahalo for joining us from the beautiful forest of Panaeva. Mahalo, mahalo, mahalo. Kau'i, Sheena Kau'i Lopez and Ke Kai Okalani. No, just kidding. Ke Kai Naone, mahalo for joining us. And Lynn's Keala Ostrowski. Ahui ho kako. Until next time, don't leave though. I'm going to stop recording. The Shaka Cam, everyone do Shaka Cam.